Let's get into the Word of God. I don't want to hold you too long. It's a lot to chew on today, but we're going to go ahead and hop into it and get into it. If you could turn to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to read verses 13 through 23. And if you could stand for the reverence of the Word of God. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 23. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. If you're there, just say amen. All right. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" 14. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Verse 20, then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall..." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "What? Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You may be seated. As we're focusing on the resurrection this month, the resurrection is the account of Jesus rising from the tomb with all power, and he's sitting at the right hand of God. The resurrection was the greatest promise of hope from the grave for us. Today, I just want to discuss briefly the importance of the resurrection. Can y'all say that with me? The importance of the resurrection. If you could bow your heads. Father God, we thank you for just speaking to us today as we discuss and talk about something that wasn't easy, but extremely hard. But we say thank you, God, for Jesus. Not just dying, but resurrecting on the cross, Father God. Thank you for speaking through me today. Let streams of living water come from my belly, Father God. No matter the age, thank you for speaking and giving us the word that we need to hear, Father God. In your son Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Talk about 2 points and get out your way this morning, House of Judah. Stay with me to the end, all right? So the first point I want to talk about is the power of death. Can we just say that? The power of death. Death is the ultimate fear of mankind. There is nothing as permanent as death, in the words of one of the greatest OGs ever, Dr. Miles Monroe. I'll say that again. Death is the ultimate fear of mankind. And there's nothing as permanent as death. And if we could turn really quick to Genesis 2, verse 17, really fast. And in Genesis 2, verse 17, just write it down and read it later. A lot of you guys are familiar with it. And it reads, Genesis 2, verse 17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
So, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will certainly die. The best way I could kind of put it is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were created perfect, and they were created with the Holy Spirit, right? And as Adam and Eve, and as also a being called die, and this being called die has no power or authority. Has no power or authority. Not until Adam does what? Adam disobeys God. And what God told him in Genesis 2, verse 17, if you eat from that fruit, if you eat from the tree, you will certainly or surely die. So not until Adam sinned did die have authority and power. Because up until that point, there had been no sin. Thou shalt not eat from the fruit. And in that day, you will surely die. Adam and Eve were made perfect and were engulfed with the Holy Spirit. Not until Adam ate the fruit. In that moment, it was so powerful because death was lodged in the body of mankind. The Holy Spirit left Adam and Eve. And death was in mankind. And God loved them so much. You remember in the story? What did he do? He put serpents there. Put cherubims there to guard another tree. And this other tree is a tree, if you ate from it, whatever eternal state that you win, you will dwell in that forever. Amen? So God kicked them out of the garden so they wouldn't eat from this other tree because he knew if they didn't listen to me the first time, they're not going to listen to me again. So instead of Adam and Eve now having death lodged in their body because of sin, instead of them staying in that state and eating from the tree of life, God kicked them out. The Holy Spirit was gone from them. He said, man will not live forever. Now they have given power to death through sinning, and one day man will die. But the fact that God didn't allow them to eat from the tree of life, it gave hope for a brighter future. In 1 Corinthians 15, the 56th verse, write it down. I'll read it here. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 56th verse. It brings more context of how die was around, but how die didn't have any power and authority until sin came. And it reads, it says, the sting of what? Death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. The sting of death, what fuels death, what gives death its authority and power? Sin. So not until Adam sinned did die have the authority to kill, to take life. Even more, Romans. Write this scripture down. We'll throw it up there on the screen. Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23. You've heard it many of times. We're just going to review it today. It says what? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. For the wages, shoot, man, I know I get wages on the 15th and the 30th from Anderson School District 5. I get my wages. Anybody else get some wages in here? You might be retired. Now, wave if you really know you want to keep them wages. You work hard for the wages, right? So as we see in the scripture, sister, it's death. Well, let me put it like this. For the wages of sin is death. Doing sin, you get compensated with what? Death. Dwelling in sin, having a lifestyle of sin, you get compensated with death. It's two slaves that you could be. You could be a slave to sin, which your wage is going to be death. Or you can be a slave to God, which your gift is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. Did you notice that with sin, it's a wage? But with God, it's a gift. Gifts are given with grace and mercy because we don't deserve what God is giving us. Let's clap it right there. Let's clap our hands and two slaves, a slave to sin and a wage or death, or a slave to God in the gift of eternal life. But I'm reminded that God doesn't call us a slave. He calls us a friend. And why does he call us a friend and not a slave, even though we are slaves to God? He calls us a friend because in the Bible it tells us, for the friend knows the plan. But a slave doesn't know the plans of the master. But a friend knows the plan. And God tells us the plans that he has for us. What is that ultimate plan? It's a gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Is there anyone in here that can be honest and that can say, man, the sin felt good, but it wasn't worth it for the hell and the death that it brought into my life? Can anybody wave your hands and say, man, when I was out there on the streets, I had a good time. It felt good, but ultimately my spirit was dying. Can I have anybody in here that can say amen? But we're grateful to God because God doesn't call us that slave. And he showed grace and mercy upon us. But just say sin. Through Adam, we know there's an issue of sin in the world. My second and last point before I get out of here. Clap it up if you're enjoying this so far. I'm almost done. It's the importance of the resurrection. The importance of the resurrection. What we're focusing on this month. Jesus was not born of a man, which I've been able to come back, and we've talked about Mary, and you guys have talked about that whole process. But Jesus wasn't born of a man. Jesus also was not born knowing sin. Amen? Amen. We've learned that what is the sting of death? You got it? Say it again. You can tell I'm an education. Paul, I got to hear it. If you don't know, I'm going to give you the answer. Sin. What is the sting of death? Sin. There's this problem in the world that Adam has sinned. Death is lodging in human beings. And humans continuously are in the cycle of sin, death, and despair. Sin, death, and despair. But God knows if sin is not present, death has no sting. In order for mankind to stop dying, God had to come up with the solution to take away the variable that was killing and bringing power to death. The resurrection was God's response to death. So, before we get into our key scripture, I promise I'm almost done. Let's just start at the beginning of Matthew, the 16th chapter. If you don't mind, if you can take it to the beginning of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Before we get to verses 13 through 23 that we read this morning, let's take it back to verse 1 and we'll skim through. And we see, to grasp the depth of this key scripture, we see in verse 1, the Pharisees and Sadducees on their TV show are messing with Jesus. Episode 55, they come and do the same tactic. They come to Jesus to test him, right? And they ask him, they say, show us a sign from heaven. And Jesus, skipping down to verse 4, he pretty much said, man, y'all see the weather. Y'all know the signs. Y'all know this weather. It's been cold this week and then hot. Everybody's sinuses all messed up. Humans can understand what's going on, the seasons. But in verse 4, he says something. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of what? Of Jonah. Jonah was in the well for how many days? For 3 days. And as we continue in chapter 16, verse 5, then the disciples, this particular day, they left some bread. They made me feel better because sometimes I leave stuff. I'm like, man, all right, disciples was human just like me. They left some bread, their food. They didn't have DoorDash, so they were really angry. In verse 6, Jesus says, in response to this, he says, be careful and be on guard against the yeast of the who? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And not until verse 12 did the disciples understand that Jesus wasn't talking about no bread. That Jesus was saying, guard themselves against who? The teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Not yeast and bread. And after verse 12, when they realized this, we see Jesus, this familiar scripture that you've heard so many times. He has his disciples, and he asks them, who do people say I am? Just say amen if you remember hearing this as a kid and growing up, teenager. He asks this perplexed, yes, this is my water, baby. That's my daughter over there. He asks this perplexed question. And in verse 14, they start to answer. They say, some say you John the Baptist, right?
Others say you're Elijah. Some even say you're Jeremiah or another prophet. And in verse 15, Jesus said, but what do you say? Who do you say I am? Y'all been with me for a while. You've been listening and you've been seeing the things I've done. Who do you say? And Peter, being the bold one, he steps up and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In verses 17 through 20, Jesus continued to explain that you're right, Peter. And only heaven has given you this, not flesh and blood. Upon this, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. And Jesus told the disciples at the end of that, he says, don't tell anyone that I'm the Messiah. Verse 21, in this moment, Jesus begins to start from this moment on speaking intensively about the suffering that he's about to engage. These religious folk, they're going to kill me. It's going to happen. But check this out. After I die, what's going to happen? In 3 days, I'm going to rise again. In verse 22, bold Peter does what? He pulls Jesus to the side and he says, man, I'm not going to let this happen. And Jesus immediately does something so bold. And me, as a child, me growing up, I was like, man, that was me. Has anybody ever had that thought? I said, dog, Jesus, you couldn't just say, Peter, chill. No. Jesus says so boldly in verse 23, get behind me, who? Dog, man. Boy, that's tough. When you look at somebody and say, get behind me, Satan. So Jesus really meant this with the passion. He said, get behind me, Satan, for you're a stumbling block. You're consumed with the cares of this world. Why was Jesus so forceful on his rebuke to Peter? Jesus had to execute his purpose. Stay with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. He had to execute his purpose. See, the word Messiah is Hebrew, Arabic, meaning anointed one. Can we just say anointed one? Also, the word Christ. Christ is Greek word, meaning what? Anointed one or chosen one. So Messiah and Christ, these words are equivalent. Jesus asked them on this day, verse 13, who do they say I am? Because Jesus knew he had to earn the title of Christ. We say Jesus Christ like that's his last name. But that's not Jesus' last name. Christ was a title that Jesus had to earn. The anointed one, our chosen one, was something that Jesus knew he had to earn. They said, you, John the Baptist, that's just a prophet. That's my cousin, actually. That's my cousin that said he wasn't even worthy of tying my, lacing my shoes up. Amen? They said, you, Elijah. He said, if you look in Malachi, they said John the Baptist was going to be the new version of Elijah. Amen? So y'all taking steps backwards. They said that you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus is saying to himself, no, no, no.
I haven't earned the title yet. Because they are calling me a prophet. But Jesus came to be the Christ of the Messiah, which is a king, a deliverer, or a savior. See, when we look at it, we see it as being called John the Baptist of Elijah as respect and esteem. But when you're talking to a king, a Messiah, the Christ, that's disrespectful to his purpose of who he is. Good gracious, Elijah. Jesus knew. How can Jesus earn the title of Christ? Jesus knew he could only earn it through what Jeremiah prophesied about him. From what Isaiah prophesied about him. He knew he had to die on the cross. This showed Jesus' purpose had not been fulfilled when they just called him a prophet. Jesus was thinking, you missed it. And I'm here this morning to remind you, be careful of the yeast of your cousin, the Pharisees. Be careful of the yeast of social media, the Sadducees. Be careful of the people that are saying that Jesus was a good man. They're saying that Jesus was a prophet. Because it sounds nice, but it's disrespectful. Some of your cousins and uncles and nieces and nephew are saying, yeah, I don't believe that Jesus is the living God. He died and rose, but I know he was a prophet. I know he was good. He was a good man. I do believe that Jesus walked the earth. Be careful of the yeast. Because Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. Every religion has a prophet. A prophet that did what? That died for the cause. Every religion has a head figure that did what? That sacrificed for whatever they believed in. Martin Luther King died for the cause. But no religion, no prophet, no leader of their faith claimed to do something. Jesus told them, the only sign you'll get is of Jonah. Because Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. He told his disciples, I'm going to die, but on that third day, I'm going to rise again. See, Jesus wasn't a prophet. Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. And the only way he could show that he was that is if he died on the cross. But remember, the sting of death is what? Sin. And man was trapped in the spiraling merry-go-round of sin. And a Messiah, a Christ, is a deliverer, is a savior. So Jesus came first to die on a cross. And as he was on that cross, our sin, my sin, and your sin, present and past, it came on the Son
of God and the Son of God experience the Father turning his back on him. And God had to turn his back on the only child that he had that was perfect. The only child that he had that did everything right. And on that cross, he that knew no sin became sin so that we can be the righteousness of God. And by Christ's stripes, we can be healed. And by the blood of Jesus being whipped on his back, we can be healed. And on that cross, he died. He died as what? As sin. He killed sin on the cross. That made him a savior. But when he went to Hades, he took the keys of authority. And he resurrected again. That differentiated him between a prophet and a person dying for the cause. That gave him the name above all names. Because to be the king, you got to have the keys. But he had the keys. He resurrected. He did something that no one had ever done before. He stood on resurrection ground with all authority, with all power in his hand. And he stood there and he's called his disciples and he showed them the holes in his hands. He showed him the holes in his feet. He showed him the piercing on his side. And the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power that will resurrect your life from the dead. It's the same power that will resurrect you from depression. It's the same power that can resurrect you from adultery. It's the same power that can resurrect you from drugs. Do I have five people in here that can say, God, I thank you for your resurrecting power. I thank you for coming on the cross and dying for me, but not staying there. But he finished the job. And he went into the holies of holies with his own blood. And the petition was rent. Why? Because Jesus, he knew the goal. How could he be beaten, hurt, lied on, spit on, abused? These are not figurative things. These are literal things that he did. When you're focused on your purpose, when you focus on your purpose, what man does is minuscule to you. You still have emotions. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, to the point where blood is coming out of his pores. You still have emotions. You still have feelings. But when you focus on your purpose, you can endure being talked about. When you focus on your purpose, you can endure the pain. When you focus on your purpose, you can have a boldness to speak to those that's trying to deter you. Verse 22, Peter says, Jesus, I won't let them kill you. But Jesus was so adamant because he knew unless he was killed, for this reason have I come into the world. He was so focused on his purpose that he so boldly corrected Peter because he didn't want to just be a prophet like the others. He wanted a name above all names. because Jesus died, we were able to have a birth certificate. Because of his resurrection, we're able to live again. House of Judah, if you can stand to your feet and just thank God for his resurrecting power and thank God for his word today. I can go another 50 minutes. I'm going to cut it here so we can just thank God for showing us. In the Bible, it says, it pleased God to do this to Christ. And it says, God, it says Jesus was obedient even to death on the cross. How? Because he was so focused on the purpose. He didn't allow anything to stop him. This morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. That you follow the example of Jesus. As we thank him for his resurrection. Because we often just talk about him dying on the cross. That was important. But his resurrection made him Christ. It was a lot of different people who had that tag Christ on their name in that time. But Jesus is the Christ. Because he resurrected. There were several people who died on the cross. But Jesus died as our sin. Because it should have been us. But we're grateful to God that he resurrected. The altar is open. If there's anyone that want to come down specifically for whatever it may be. But I'm going to pray a prayer specifically for those who need the touch, that resurrecting power. Whether it be God resurrecting you spiritually on keeping the faith in God, whether you've given up on your marriage. Resurrection is only needed for something that's hard and something that you want to quit. I know Jesus wanted to quit. Blood was coming out of his face. He said, Father, if it's not, not my will, let your will be done. What is he saying? I don't want to do this. I want to do it, but it hurts. This morning, I'm praying a special prayer for you. As Jesus died on the cross, he went down to Hades. Maybe you don't know. I promise I'll pray after this. But Noah, he preached and he said, a flood is coming, a flood is coming, a flood is coming. They looked at him like he was crazy. The flood came. And everyone that wasn't in that boat died and they went to hell. And all the prophets after that continuously died and went to Hades. In the Bible, it says Jesus led captivity captive. Amen? Raise your hand if you ever heard of that scripture before. What does that mean? That means when Jesus died on the cross as sin, he went to Hades, took the keys and unlocked everyone. And when Jesus got up, when Jesus left, he led captivity captive. Death has no power. Oh, victory. Where is your sting? Jesus has all authority. And I promise you, if you lift your hands and just cry out to him, being a slave to death, Being a slave to sin, excuse me, the wage is death. But being a slave to God is a gift. Because we don't deserve it. If that's you watching on social media, you don't deserve it. And that's okay, because it's a gift. It's not because of what you've done, but it's because of what Christ did by resurrecting for us. Father God, we bow our heads today. We thank you for speaking to us today, Lord Jesus.